Hello and welcome to the Pulpiteer Podcast, an audio online ministry of Pastor Andy Kroll and St. John's Pilgrim United Methodist Church. You can visit us online at pilgrimumchurch.com, or you can visit my blog at thepulpiteer.com for more sermons and writing.
So we're going to look at Luke chapter 12. Verses 32 to 40. This is Jesus speaking. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions, give alms, make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Almighty and everlasting God and Heavenly Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and meditations of my heart would be an acceptable sacrifice to you, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. All right, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Seems to me that that's a powerful and a very true statement. Wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. That's where you're going to be emotionally invested. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You can see that in serious things about life. You can see it in things that are a little more trivial. So you can take a trivial example. Sometimes there's pastimes or hobbies that we really get into and maybe even get into too much. Sometimes if you're a sports fan, you can get into that too much. I've shared this before, but you know, when I was younger especially, I would really get emotionally invested in football games. And to the point where, like, the rest of my day was determined by how my football team did. And so my treasure was the team winning and the team doing well and playing well. Unfortunately, the team I root for is the Detroit Lions. It's a horrible choice. Possibly the worst franchise in the history of sports. And my emotions then for that whole day were tied up in the worst team ever. So I was setting myself up to be grumpy on Sundays. And so it's a kind of a goofy thing. Now, I share that because football might not be your thing, but I bet you've got a thing. And I want you to think about it, because where your treasure is, your heart will be also. We can make all sorts of things our treasure. Sometimes it's stuff that we can get. Maybe it's the newest electronic thing, like the newest fancy smartphone, or the newest hot rod car. Isn't that cool? That's a special effect on the old PowerPoint. Let me try that again, just so you can fully appreciate it. Look at that. It's awesome. The newest car, or the thing that probably many of you yearn for, the fancy new ironing board. The contrast is bad. You can't totally see it. That's an ironing board. So for those of you who are Generation X and below, people used to iron their clothes. It's weird. They had this hot thing and they'd press all the wrinkles out. It didn't make any sense. A lot of work. And this, it was all straight and they didn't have wrinkles. They didn't just throw it back in the dryer. So yeah, that's how it went. New ironing board. Things you covet over. Anyway, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. It's amazing how you think with the stuff that you go after. You think, oh, if I only had this one thing, or if I could only get that one thing, then I would be okay. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It might be some accomplishment, like a promotion to the assistant to the regional manager, or landing some sort of job or some sort of professional success that you could get. If I achieve this, then I have value. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We can also make good things, things that are perfectly fine things, we can make our ultimate treasure, and that can get us into trouble. And it's not that the things that we want or are concerned about are bad, but if we make them our ultimate treasure, if they become idols for us, then that can be a problem, because where our treasure is, our heart is also. There's things I struggle with sometimes in regards to like good things that we want to make an ultimate thing or make a God thing. So as a United Methodist pastor, one of the things is I'm a part of the itinerant system, which means I could be moved at any point. But usually it's just once a year they let you know if you've been moved or not. And that's a hard thing. I struggle with that because the way I'm wired, just with my personality and who I am, I like staying in one place. I like building relationships and trying to get to know people and get to know a place. And I really don't like change. I like to keep things the same. You can ask Anne about that. Like, I just like things predictable in that sort of sense. And so I want to do that. I want to build up a garden and have a place with people I know on a deeper level, that sort of thing. But on the other hand, my home is not here. And I don't mean St. John's, but my ultimate home is not in this world. It's in the kingdom of God. And so I have to ask myself, I have to wrestle with, is my heart longing for this home that I only will ultimately find in heaven? Am I trying to make that elsewhere? Am I making that my treasure? And so the question I wrestle with is, how much am I living out how God made me, which is a good thing. How, you know, God wired me to want to build these relationships and invest deeply into a place. That's a good thing. But how much of it is that, or how much of it is me looking for a home on this earth that can only be found in the kingdom of God? And I think that's a good thing to wrestle with, because where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. Now, I open up with this question and focusing on this verse because I hope you'll ask yourself the question, you know, where is my treasure? Where do you set your mind and your energy? Where do you seek fulfillment and wholeness? Where is your treasure? It's funny, after the first service, I had a couple guys come up and tell me that during the service, their wives were able to inform them what their treasures were. Which is one way to do it, but you remember, sometimes I'll say, if you're reading the scripture and it's telling you how to make your neighbor a better person, maybe you're not getting the whole story, right? But I want you to think about that. Like, where is your treasure? What things are you valuing? Where is your treasure? The context for this little paragraph here, verses 32 to 34, there's a chunk that goes ahead of it and a chunk that goes behind it that both kind of inform this whole treasure talk. So they're kind of connected, and they kind of help us understand this, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So the first one, the chunk in verses 22 to 31, Jesus is teaching his followers that they're not supposed to worry about their lives, about what they'll eat or drink or wear. And so we think about that in terms of this. Look, if your treasure is here, if your treasure is on this earth, then you've got stuff to worry about here, because it's the most valued thing. You're going to have to be concerned and worry about things. Like, if your treasure is your bank account, then if you hear news about a possible recession or an economic crash due to a trade war or an uptick in cyber crimes that empty people's bank accounts, that stuff will make you worry on end. I mean, just worry and worry and worry. If your treasure is in your appearance, then if you get a gray hair or a little bit of cellulite or the fashions change for clothes, then it causes anxiety. If your treasure is here in this earth, then you'll want to ensure that you can remain here, to be consumed by making sure that you can provide security for yourself. That's actually what's going on in the parable that precedes the section I'm talking about in verses 13 to 21. You heard it read as the gospel reading last week, where there's the guy who grows a lot of food and he builds extra barns to store all his food in, and he sits back and he's really pleased because he's provided security for himself going forward, and then he finds out he's going to die that night and his entire treasure is worth nothing. It all is worth nothing to him. So to be clear, Jesus isn't saying that we shouldn't be wise or plan or that sort of thing, but expending our energy worrying shows a lack of trust in God, and plus worrying doesn't really accomplish anything. And so, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. And if your treasure is on this earth, where things are temporary, things are transient, things pass away on this earth, that's just the nature of reality on this earth. And if your treasure is on this earth, then that means your treasure is passing away, and it kind of freaks you out because you got to try to hold on to it. And you worry, and you have to try and protect it. That's the first. That's 22 to 31. Then the next chunk, the chunk that's right after the you know, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. The chunk that's right after that, verses 35 to 40, Jesus is instructing his disciples to live their lives in such a way that they're ready for the end of the world at any moment. That's what the phrase, the Son of Man is coming, refers to. It refers to Judgment Day. It refers to the return of Christ, that Jesus comes back and the end of this age comes, and then we're into the new age, and there's the new heavens and the new earth, and everything's different. And so the question then for us as Christians is, are you ready for the possibility that everything could end at any moment? Everything could end at any moment. The first couple generations of Christians were better at this. They just lived lives with the understanding and the expectation that Jesus was going to return at any time. And that's a Christian belief, and it's funny, as things have gone on and as time has gone on now for Christians, it's a Christian belief that, I mean, it's, you know, we say in the communion liturgy, in fact, we say Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will what? Come again. So it's a normal Orthodox Christian belief that we don't think an awful lot about, and then when we do, we make it into like sci-fi novels and stuff. It's like, because we're not sure what to make of it. But part of it is just saying, look, you've got to live your life as if you're ready for Jesus to come back soon, to be prepared, to be ready. And that's what's going on in these verses. But here's the thing. Everything could end in a moment, and it might be the return of Christ, or it could be your own death. There are many people around the world each day who get out of bed not knowing that that particular day is their last day on this earth. We had those horrible shootings in our nation over the past week or so. There were a lot of people who got up out of bed that morning not knowing it was going to be their last day. Like, life is fragile, and it goes quickly. Are you ready for the possibility that everything could end at any moment? Because that's what we need to think about in terms of where's our treasure? Because we could find ourselves in the same situation as the guy who built the barns to store all the food and then find out, oh, this doesn't mean anything to me anymore because life has come to an end. Let's do a thought experiment. Let's think about this. Suppose you're in St. John's. Easy to imagine so far. And you're in St. John's, and you're going to be here for a little bit of time. It might be a couple hours, it could be a couple days, it could be a couple weeks, but you're going to move. You're going to move to Australia. And not only are you going to move to Australia, but they've got a furnished place, a new house for you. Everything you're going to have is over there. And since you're going on the plane and stuff, you only get like a little carry-on bag to take with you. So you don't get to bring like everything with you. You just get a little bit of stuff. And all you know is, as you're living here, all you know is at some point somebody's going to give you a phone call, you answer, and they say, it's time, 20 minutes, meet me at the airport, going to Australia, right? And so, like, you know, at any point, you're going to get this phone call to go to Australia, to the mansion that's been prepared for you there, or whatever, it's furnished and all that. So, if that were the case, and you were here, how would you live your life? Would you buy a house? Would you rent a house? Would you live with a friend? Would you buy a bunch of stuff? Would you invest in a bunch of knickknacks, the precious moments? I mean, you can only fit so many precious moment figurines in a carry-on case, right? I mean, not that I know from my own experience, but it. But how would you live your life, right? If you knew that any second you could get a phone call like you're going someplace else and everything's prepared for you, okay? Would you build your treasure here? Now, if Jesus really is coming back at some point, and if we really are going to die at some point, like if one way or the other, this is going to end, if that's really going to happen, then are we treating this as a temporary stay for us? Where are we building our treasures? And why do we act as if we're going to stay here forever? Is it because our treasures really are here? Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. See, Jesus is calling us to be very clear on the things that we value. He's telling us to live our lives as if our faith and our faithful actions actually have eternal results. Like, that's one of the things. In verse 33, Jesus says, to give away your possessions and to give alms, which means to give to the poor. To sell your possessions and give to the poor. Now, why would you do that? He said, because doing that, you're making purses for yourselves that don't wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven. Like, he's saying, look, when you do this stuff, there's a treasure in heaven for you. In other words, that the faithful actions that you do in this life actually have eternal consequences later. Like, live your life as if this is temporary, but there is an eternal something coming down the road. And that's what he's pushing us to do. Because you have to ask, why does Jesus tell us to sell all our stuff and to give to the poor and that sort of thing? Is it because God doesn't like rich people? Is it because the church needs money? What's going on here? Jesus is saying, no, you need to live as if there is. In fact, to kind of close on this motivation for Jesus telling us this, we'll kind of close on this thought. And it's not super sexy. We're going to look at some grammatical structure and logic. So that's all right. But I think there's something cool here going on, because we'll look at Jesus says to sell your possessions. You get this command. You get the command. Sell your possessions, give alms, or give to the poor. And then the command is re-described, which is kind of interesting. He's saying, look, this is what's happening. When you sell your possessions and give alms, you're making purses that don't wear out and an unfailing treasure in heaven where there's no thief is going to touch it, no moth can destroy. So it's a redescription. So as you are doing these actions of giving to the poor and giving to yourself, giving of yourself to others, what you're doing is you're taking things that would be considered earthly treasure, you're giving it away, but as you do that, you're really building a treasure in heaven. Got it? Make sense? So do this. The command is sell your possessions, give alms. You get the command is redescribed, and then you get this causal connection here with the word for. Four is showing this kind of logical causal connection. It's a relationship called substantiation, which means that the first statement is substantiated by the second, which means you get the effect and then the cause. You do this thing because of this. So Jesus is giving the command, but the reason that Jesus is giving the command is what's going to come next. That's why four, that's what that causal relationship shows. So he's telling you to do something pretty hard, to give. To let go of stuff, to give your stuff to people who need it, to let go, and he's telling you to put your treasure in heaven, and he's telling you to do this, he's commanding us to do this difficult thing. Why is he commanding us to do that? Well, that's what we're going to find in this cause box down here. And the cause is, of course, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus is commanding us to live our lives a certain way. Why? Because where your treasure is, your heart will be also. So what is Jesus' concern here? Where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Well, from the first statement, where is he telling us to put our treasure? In heaven, right? Jesus is saying, put your treasure in heaven. Why is he saying that? Because what does he want to have happen? He wants your heart to be in heaven. Jesus is after our hearts. Like, God wants us to be with him. He's saying, look, where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be, and I want your heart with me. I want you to be with me. God loves us so much that he wants us with him for eternity. And we can't do that if we're chasing after things down here, things that are temporary, things that are fleeting, things that go away. Instead, he's saying, Look, I love you so much. I want you with me. You need to have your treasure up here. We need to have our treasures in heaven. In fact, we need to have Jesus as our treasure. We need to have Jesus as our treasure. Because where our treasure is, there our hearts will be also. And when your treasure is there, your heart will be there also. And really what it comes down to is a choice for us. We can make all sorts of things our treasure here on this earth. But we know logically that this earth is temporary, don't we? That this stuff passes away. That beauty fades. That wealth doesn't buy everything. That at some point we all die. Like, all of that stuff is temporary. And so really the question we have is, are we going to have our treasure in this temporary stuff that isn't going to fulfill us or last? Or is our treasure going to be in heaven with the God who loves us, with the God who created us, with the God who gave his own son for us and wants to take care of us? Remember, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In the name of the Father, and Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.